In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Welcome to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Meaders. On 1430 ESPN, sitting here at First String Sports, Blackstone and Herndon, Blackstone Sierra, whatever you want to call it, right in the middle there. First String Sports is the place to be for sure. They have been a huge sponsor for my show, Central Valley Sports Report, since day one. They have been on board, and I wouldn't want to have the show anywhere else. I'm here in the Letterman's Jacket Room, as I call it. Come down here, get your Letterman's Jacket. It's interesting. I get here pretty early every show, a little after 9, and the store opens up at 10 o'clock, and I hear the salespeople here, the workers here at First String Sports making call, yeah, your Letterman's Jacket is ready. We got your Letterman's Jacket embroidered. And constantly throughout my show, between 10 and 12 every Saturday morning, people are coming, kids are coming in and getting their Letterman's Jacket fitted and what they want put on it. And so it's a great deal here at First String Sports. So make sure you guys come down to First String and check it out. And obviously sporting goods everywhere, baseball equipment, softball equipment, football gear, everything you need here at First String Sports. So for the next 2 hours, like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about high school sports, everything that's going on in the world, in our Central Valley. And what, you know, when I got the show back in August, obviously they allowed me to title the show whatever I wanted. And I wanted it to be about the Central Valley. I wanted it to be about reporting. And so I named it the Central Valley Sports Report. And then I put With Paul Meaders at the end. If you see the logo, I put With Paul Meaders because I wanted my name on it too. But I wanted this to be about the kids. I wanted it to be about the programs out there. I love to share about rankings and stats and all that stuff too. That stuff is really, really fun to me. So that's what this show is about. And on this show, I have four different guests. Actually, five, because I'm going to have somebody call in. I have five total guests on the show. The first guest that we're going to be having after the break is Hoover baseball coach David Jones. It's his first year at Hoover, and he's formed something called the Patriot Diamond Club to help revitalize the Hoover baseball program. He realized something when he went to the Kerry League youth baseball tryouts, and he expected to see, you know, a couple hundred kids, and he saw around 50 kids. And so he realized, well, that needs to be addressed. We need to figure something out. And as everybody knows, COVID has really done a number on students. It's done a number everywhere. I don't have to say that. But it's done a real number on students and participation levels, and there's a real need. There's no doubts about that. And Coach Jones has dove in headfirst and really put himself out there and, you know, has a heart for the kids, and I can really, really appreciate that. So we're going to be talking with him after the break about some of his ideas. He sent a letter out to other coaches. There's been a great response for help for his program from other programs. That's one of the great things about their central section, is that we're willing to help each other. So we'll be talking with David Jones after the break about that. At 10:30, well, after 10:30, chatting with Gabe Camarillo. Gabe is actually out at the football at Bulldog Stadium at the football spring preview. Again, don't call it a spring game because it is a spring preview. Gabe is over there, and so we're going to be talking with Gabe while he's down on the field about this big week in high school sports. There is some. We only got two more weeks of regular season in baseball before playoffs hit, and softball as well. We're going to be breaking down some of the games that have happened this last week, some of our predictions, and next week we definitely have a whopper of a series in baseball between Buchanan and Clovis West, so we'll be talking about that. Is around 10:32. In hour number two, at the top of the hour, we're going to have Central High baseball pitcher Ryan Spilero. He's our 1430 Student Athlete of the Week. He's one of the top pitchers in the track, one of the top pitchers in the central section. So we give a lot of love to the top teams in the Valley, in the central section, and, you know, deservedly so. You know, we talk about them in the rankings and some of their players and statistics. But Spolero's one of the best pitchers in the league, and everybody knows that. And he beat the number three team in the state, Buchanan, on Wednesday, allowed only one run in six innings, and as reported, he was throwing 93 miles an hour. And he's not a big dude at all. He's going to be coming in here to first-string sport. So I actually haven't seen him pitch this year. I wasn't able to go to that game. I really wanted to. Wasn't able to check that out. But, yeah, dude's throwing 93. So have and he's committed to St. Mary's. Committed to St. Mary's College. And he also is a late bloomer. He really didn't start pitching until a couple of years ago. So it'll be exciting to hear about his journey and his growth to be able to throw 93 miles an hour. So Ryan Spolero at the top of hour number two. At the bottom of the hour, I guess we're keeping with the central theme here. I got football coach Kyle Biggs coming in. And, you know, it's never too early to talk about high school football. And one of the reasons why I want to talk to Kyle is there's a lot of these spring practices and, you know, there's a showcase going on at Clovis Unified. And it just kind of got me thinking what is allowed and what isn't allowed during this time for high school football. So we'll be talking about that and what high schools are doing now. You also hear about colleges that are visiting these practices during this time and scouting players and even offering scholarships. I'm very curious what that looks like and who's he been able to talk about and some players that might get some Division I offers. And I also want to talk about Jalen Johnson. The NFL draft was a couple days ago, and Jalen Johnson was a second-round pick for the Chicago Bears from Utah, and obviously Coach Biggs coached Jalen Johnson, and he's a dude. He had a really good year this year. So, yeah, hear a little bit more about Jalen Johnson. Also, we are fast approaching May. Basically, it is May in my mind, and I'm in education. This is my 25th year in the classroom, and we had a staff meeting going over the May calendar, and I felt like having a panic attack almost. There is so much stuff going on in the month of May. I don't have any. None of my three daughters are graduating this year, so at least I don't have to worry about any graduation stuff. But I some of you parents out there that are listening to the show, I don't know how you guys are going to get through this month as well. This is a super, super busy month, the month of May. But I want to go over athletically some of the dates and events that are happening, the important events that are happening this month. So in badminton is a sport here in the central section. The section individual championships are going to be Saturday, May 14th. And how do I know there's badminton? Well, my daughter is on the badminton team at Bullard. So I've been to quite a few matches, and it's actually a lot of fun. You got six badminton nets up there at a time in a gym, and the girls are playing. You got doubles and singles. So that's been a lot of fun to watch this year. In baseball, our section championships are May 27th and 28th. Now, something that is important about that is it's going to be at Fresno State and Rawhide Stadium. And we don't know. It's not predetermined. So we don't know, you know, Division I is playing at Fresno State or Division II is playing at Rawhide. We're not sure yet. It's going to be based on proximity. So, you know, if you got two South Valley teams that are playing in a championship game, they're probably going to be playing in Visalia. If you got two that are, you know, closer to Fresno Clovis or, you know, maybe Fowler or a place like that, you probably be playing at Fresno State. And that's going to be May 27th and 28th. Boys golf, the section championships is May 16th in Bakersfield. Boys tennis, May 6th through 7th. That's the section individual championships at Garces High. Boys volleyball, May 12th at the home sites. So there is not a just one location for boys volleyball. It's going to be at home sites. Softball is going to be played at Margie Wright Stadium on May 27th and 28th. So back-to-back days on that. Swim and dive, this is a big deal here in the Central Valley. That's going to be at Clovis West High School. The sections are May 4th and 7th. But the big deal, state. We hold the state swim meet, and that's going to be May 12th through the 14th at Clovis West High School. And then track and field. Track and field, state track and field meet is awesome. If you guys have never been, I encourage you guys to go check that out at Buchanan Stadium. It is a lot of fun. That is going to be, well, the section championships at Buchanan is going to be May 21st, and then the following week, May 27th through the 28th at Buchanan. So, yeah, definitely check that out. You'll see future Olympians. You will. I did. It was a Michael Norman, right? Ran the 400 in the Olympics this year. I got to watch him at the state track meet. So, yeah, just lots of incredible athletes at that. We had a couple upsets in baseball and softball this week. Number one, Clovis North. Number one in the state, Clovis North lost to Buchanan 1-0 in 10 innings. I was quite shocked by that. Clovis North, number one in the state by Cal High Sports, and also number three in the nation by Max Preps. That's a huge, huge win for Buchanan. And, you know, in softball, the little things definitely matter when you got a couple of high-level teams like that. And, yeah, Buchanan came out with the victory. And then I mentioned that Central beat Buchanan 6-3 on Wednesday behind Ryan Spilero. So other interesting thing about that game, and we'll get into it when we talk to Ryan, is that, yeah, Central hadn't won a game in the track. There was a little bit of controversy with a pitch count. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but Central had to forfeit a game against Clovis. Central beat them on the field, but there was a technicality where one school had him a pitcher at 32 pitches, another one, Central, had him at 28, so they thought he was allowed to pitch. Apparently there was some video evidence that said he pitched over 30, and then they took it to the league. The league decided that, yep, it was a win for Clovis. So, yeah, I mean, great win for Central baseball. Couple other fun little news and notes. Coach Tom Donald of Bullard, he moved into fourth place in the Central section in career wins last month for baseball. After the Knights beat Edison, he's up to now 527 wins. And another huge milestone, Madera softball coach Judy Schaubach reached 700 wins after the Coyotes 3-2 win over Bullard. She's won a Cal High Sports Softball Coach of the Year, and she's joined by Mike D'Amato of Independence and Mike Noel of Clovis to each reach 700 wins. So congrats to both of those coaches. I want to get to really quick, only got about a minute here before we take a break. The NFL draft was the other day, and it's always curious to see what players in the first round especially are drafted that are from California, played high school football in California. So there were five first-round draft picks from California this year. In our Central Valley, in the first round, there's been only three. 2020, in the last 12 years. 2020, Jordan Love was drafted 26th overall by the Green Bay Packers out of Liberty Bakersfield. 2018, we all know this one, Josh Allen drafted number 7 out of Fireball to Buffalo. We know how awesome he is right now. And then 2010, Ryan Matthews drafted at number 12. He played at West Bakersfield. Drafted by the Chargers, obviously a star at Fresno State. So, yeah, a couple little fun facts there. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Hoover High baseball coach David Jones about what's going on over there, how they are trying to revitalize baseball in his area. Excited to talk about him on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, on 1430 ESPN. A little fun fact about that Foo Fighters song, Learn to Fly. So that song was actually played at my wedding. So we had our wedding in a church, you know, very, you know, Christian wedding with worship songs and different things like that and candles and all that stuff. And we had our slideshow. And I'm like, I got to get a Foo Fighters song in my slideshow. So we're playing some Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant, and then we're coming in hard with some Foo Fighters. So I was given that by my wife. My wife gave me the green light on that. So, yeah, whenever I hear that song, I think of my wedding. All right, so we have David Jones, Hoover baseball coach. And, yeah, I'm fired up right now, man, talking to David before the show and at the break right now. He's got some great stuff going on over there at Hoover. He's trying to revitalize the program and get these kids involved. So first of all, Dave, I want to ask you, how did you get to Hoover? You said this is your first year, but you kind of had an interesting route to the school.
Yeah, so my first year coaching baseball over there, it's my fourth year teaching at Hoover. I came from the law enforcement world. I was a sergeant with the sheriff's office in Kings County. I'm born and raised in Lemoore. Parents are still there. After I suffered an injury on the job, I had been teaching adjunct at West Hills, and a good friend of my wife said, hey, there's programs in high school education if you like teaching, which I love. My dad was a teacher, where you can work with high school kids and teach your profession, CTE, career technical education. Fresno Unified does a great job with that. applied, fortunate enough to get the job, and truly blessed to have found a second career that I love as much as my first career.
That's amazing. And I just want to open this up. I just want to ask this simple question. I want you to talk about your Patriot Diamond Club and what the goal is and the people that you've got involved with it and its affiliation.
So at Hoover, I came in, hit the ground running, you know, learning how to teach at this level. College was a different animal. Hoover had a football coach, Russ Pickett, who was, though younger than me, a good mentor in the coaching world. He's now at Fresno City College. And Russ allowed me to be a part of his football program, special teams. Some other mentors said, hey, your energy, that's where you need to be. And I just wanted to be around the kids outside of the classroom, more involved in the campus. Coach Oliver and his crew after COVID, I think that took something out of the program and out of them. 10 years in, they decided to hang it up. They have some small children at home, and it became open. On campus, nobody really was interested. I'm a firm believer that the coaches should be on campus to be around the kids, to contact them all the time. I put in, I was fortunate enough to get it, and I quickly learned that there's not a lot of money for those programs, and other mentors, other coaches, I talked to Coach Fonts, I talked to Coach Donald, I talked to other program coaches. They're like, you're going to have to get a nonprofit, and you're going to have to raise money. Tough lesson there. You associate that nonprofit with Fresno Unified School District, they're going to tell you how to raise your money, when to raise your money, how to spend your money. I do not believe that is an efficient way to help the kids. Probably not a popular opinion. So during that, I wanted to see where the kids were coming from in the Hoover District, not being from Fresno. Everyone said, hey, you got to go down to the Cary League. That's where these kids all came from. Good friend of mine, Brian Marsubian, coach at Buchanan, good friend of mine, Cal Kane, coach at Bullard, baseball guys. They're like, Cary League, man, that's where we all started. I go to the Cary League, Little League tryouts. I walk in and I think I'm going to see hundreds of kids running around the field. I mean, Little League tryouts are a blast.
Yeah.
I don't think there were 50 kids trying out for 10, 11, 12-year-old baseball. And so that just, like, that hit me.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with our baseball, our city, our youth involvement. So I went home to my wife, and I said, we can't just be the people that talk about the problem. So I started putting in the paperwork. We formed Patriot Diamond Club, and we said, not just Hoover High, not just for us and my program, but for baseball in this district, in the middle of this city, let's affect change. So that's the birth of the Patriot Diamond Club. And we're all in.
And so that means that you guys are trying just to build up the youth program. So by the time that they get to you and even the junior highs there around Hoover, then they're ready to play ball and they have the experience. And are you going out and you're trying to get equipment for the young boys, and you're trying to get good coaches involved and get mentors in their life? What does that look like?
Yeah, so first of all, money is always needed, right? Let me tell you, in talking to John Juarez, president of Cary League, who's been involved down there forever, God bless him, I think it takes about 30 to 35 grand yearly to run Cary League. Right now, they're at about 17.5. They're only at about half their budget, and they're in it.
Yeah.
And they've got uniform needs and equipment needs. And let's be real, not all these families can afford walk around First String Sports or Big Five or go online, go to Dick's. What's a bat cost these days? From $70 to $400. What's a glove cost these days? What's a baseball cost? $11.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the problem. Don't even get me started about travel baseball. So, yeah, you talked about equipment. One of the first things we're going to do, and I reached out to the coaches, and I'm getting good response. Coach Donald at Bullard, first guy to respond. Coach Fonts, we're going to help. Moley out at Central, we'll figure it out. Pappy at Fresno High, we're going to have an equipment drive in 2 weeks. Hoover High, you have some used equipment in your garage, bats, balls, pants, gloves, cleats. If they're going to be trashed to you or they've just been sitting there, we'll take them. We'll decide if they're usable. We'll clean them up, and then we're going to work with John, and we're going to figure out what we can donate to the kids. So, you know, save the parents there, and I'll keep it at my house, and we'll develop a little closet. That's fine. So equipment shouldn't be the barrier,
yeah.
Right? Let's eliminate that cost, and then let's generate some buzz. And if we can get, you know, small donations incrementally here and there, we've started a fund drive at Hoover. We're going to write a check to Kerry League. We're going to help lessen that burden. I've donated some bats and helmets that have been given to me to Awani to help those guys have some programs. You know, but if you want to get into the high school level and what the, you know, what it costs to run a program at Hoover, I only have a varsity baseball team.
Yeah.
COVID wiped out politically correct. It affected lower income more than
sure.
It affected mm-hmm. higher income. I only have a varsity baseball team. Why? Well, notoriously, we only have JV and varsity. But online learning, Fresno State just put out a big report about how kids did worse. Well, obviously yeah. kids did worse. Self-discipline is not there. So they're not eligible to play sports. It adversely affected kids who maybe don't have the bell-to-bell schedule to get involved. So kids that used to play baseball 2 years on the couch didn't come back out. But let's pretend I had three programs and my school budget for baseball, all the programs, $2,700. Explain to me how they expect me to run three programs when baseballs are 11, L screens are $1,400, dirt for the infield is $12 a bag, rakes are 100. I mean, it's not feasible if you don't have outside people supporting your program. And I don't understand the disconnect, because it seems obvious to me, and if somebody could explain what I'm missing, I would love to hear the argument. If we get kids engaged in a sport, band, I don't care what your activity is, at an early age, and give them a reason to get to school, I promise you they're going to do better in the classroom. I love baseball. I need a 2-0 to play baseball. I'm going to reach my 2-0. I love football. I love basketball. I love band. I love choir. Whatever your thing is. But we're not looking at it that way, and I don't get it.
This is all extremely multi-layered issues, and it sounds like you and I, we could probably have a four-hour conversation about this, David. And, yeah, bottom line is kids need to feel wanted, first of all, but they need to be encouraged. They need to be engaged. I've seen that with my own eyes. You know, you talk about kids on the couch, and that's true, right? What unfortunately happened with COVID is with distance learning and with kids being on Zoom, we just created a society where students do not have any motivation because they didn't have to. Right?
Correct.
And you're right. You give some motivation. You're like, okay, give them some equipment. Get them some mentors in their life. Love the game again. Love coming to school. Come to school so you could play sports. It all just goes around, and we've lost that. It's going to take years to build back up. But what you're doing, though, is absolutely amazing, and I could hear it in your voice, just your heart for the kids and what you saw out there and how you want to implement this change. So, okay, first of all, I want to ask you, when is that drive? Can just regular people that are out there hearing this and want to donate? Yeah, you're like, hey, I got four bats that my kids have outgrown. I got a bucket of baseballs here. That old glove has been sitting there for 3 years. How can they help?
Absolutely. So we've posted it on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at Patriot Diamond One or Facebook at Patriot Diamond Club. It's May 14th, Saturday at 10:30 at the Hoover Varsity Field. You can just drive up to the field. We're going to be out there, me and some of my players, and we're just going to have buckets and tables, and my back of my truck's going to be open, and we're going to take whatever you have to offer. And if you only have one bat or one glove, believe me when I tell you, that's going to make a difference in somebody's life. And it's a small token, but it's a big thing. And that stuff adds up. So it's just like when we go to raise money. You know, I went to the Bullard baseball fundraiser because I look at baseball as a community. You know, Coach Donald, their field was under construction. They called, can we use Hoover's field for a doubleheader against Redwood? Absolutely. My players watched. We got the field ready. We're a community.
Yeah.
They were more than gracious. They fed my players. And they're the first guys to jump in and say, hey, we'll bring equipment to your drive. They're the ones that, when we got ripped off, told me, you know, this is how we go about business. But we're not Bullard. We're Hoover, right? It's different. We don't have the tradition. We don't have the parent engagement necessarily. And I'm not talking about my parent, but I don't have 80 kids in my program. I have 15 varsity players, right? So everything helps. We would never say no.
We only got about a minute here with David Jones, Hoover baseball program. So, yeah, I would encourage you guys, and I know I – you know, I'm sure our ESPN, 1430 ESPN would be more than willing to help out any way possible. Can maybe even, you know, help donate some things, bring some stuff to the station, and then bring the equipment to Hoover High. So May 14th, the Hoover High, is it the parking lot right there front off of First Street?
I'm going to have that Barstow gate open.
Barstow, okay.
People can drive right up to the varsity field, drop their stuff, flip a U-turn, head out. They can come through that varsity gate, walk it back, hang out. You know, we'll be there. There'll be some music playing. We'll be good to go.
All right. Fantastic. We are more than willing to help out in any way. And again, out there, if you guys are listening, you want to help out the Hoover High baseball area with, you know, follow the Patriot Diamond One at Twitter and get all the information there. But yeah, David, thanks for coming in. I wish we had more time to talk about this. You're very passionate. You have a heart for the kids, and that's going to go a long way.
Hey, we appreciate it, and thank you for all you do for keeping high school sports at the forefront.
Thank you. Coming up after the break. Oh, that was great. Coming up after the break, talking with Gabe Camarillo about all the good stuff that's going on in the Central Valley. Talk about some games that are coming up, some games that have already happened here on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Some Van Halen right there. I'm always down for some Van Halen. And oh, gosh, I hope you guys heard that last segment with Hoover baseball coach David Jones. That was amazing. I wish I had more time with him. He's got a heart for the kids. And, man, I identify with those types of dudes. You know, he comes in, he's a big guy, he's in shape, and he got emotional talking about the kids. And passion for kids goes a long way. And when you can intertwine passion with action, you're going to get results, and he's going to get results. So, again, May 14th, if you guys can help bring any type of baseball equipment that you have laying around that you're not using, go to Hoover High School. They'll be there, I think you said, 10:30 in the morning, taking everything they got to then donate to the Carey League, which then feeds into Hoover High. So, yeah, again, if you guys can do that, that would be fantastic. Now we're going to be bringing in Gabe Camarillo. Gabe usually produces my show, but he's out on assignment at Bulldog Stadium right now. He writes for the 1430 ESPN website under Camarillo's Corner. We're talking about his rankings. He writes for Barkboard. He's a great follow on Twitter. You can follow him at Gabe Camarillo. Right now, again, at Bulldog Stadium. Don't call it the spring game. Call it the spring preview. Describe what you're seeing right now. Gabe, you down on the field? What are you looking at?
I'm not down on the field, but I'm about to be. I just saw three-star quarterback Jaden Mandel walk in front of me. I wanted to say hi, but he was with a friend, so that would have been a little weird. But I just saw Jaden Mandel. There's a lot of Central Valley high school football stars expected to turn out today. A couple of Sunnyside studs, Tanner Wilson, TJ Jones, the Edison High football team is going to be here. So there's definitely going to be some Bulldogs on the field, and they'll be practicing in front of fans, but there'll also be some maybe future Bulldogs or just prospective high schoolers that want to see what it's like at the next level.
So, again, just describe what is the game start at 12 o'clock, and is it going to be a scrimmage? Is there hitting going on? What's it look like?
Full pads, 11 on 11. Looks like practice will start at about 11:30, and then they'll have the scrimmage portion probably half an hour after the practice starts. So you can make it around here to 12:15 and see the whole scrimmage. And this is going to be live hitting. You know, they're going to tackle. It's just going to be like the real deal against each other. Some Bulldogs might be held out due to injury reasons, but I'm pretty sure you'll see Hayner at least in one or two series today. And I think that's a lot of Bulldog fans want to see is Jake Hayner. It's like maybe a preview to his star season maybe. Who knows what he's going to do in 2022. But I think that's why they call it the spring preview, kind of a preview of what we're going to get in the fall.
And you mentioned that you saw Jaden Mandel, who's now committed to play football at Fresno State. He's a junior. He's got one more year. And I mean, Jaden's actually really taken off as a pitcher for Buchanan this year. He's thrown a lot of strikes. He's found a real groove on the mound. He was committed to play baseball at Fresno State. Now he's committed to football, which is really, really exciting. But you mentioned really quick, Gabe, and you probably said it in passing, but Tanner Wilson, Sunnyside, set all kinds of records as a freshman last year, and he actually, you know, seen some clips of him recently, and he is throwing an extremely well football, and he looks like he's even gotten bigger, and he's got some other young superstars that I think I saw a picture of them in Fresno gear, right?
Yeah, it was him, CJ Jones, and Malachi Barnes. Those three guys, the quarterback and Wilson and the two receivers in Jones and Barnes, look out for them at Sunnyside High School. I'm really excited to see what the Wildcats do. We actually got to call a game on ESPN Radio when they beat Reedley and won the North Yosemite League. I'm hoping we get to call more of those games in the years to come, because it seems like those guys are just going to get better and better as they get older and older. And they are already legitimate D1 prospects. So look out. They might have a lot more offers coming their way.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned for years to come. You're right, because they're a freshman this year. They're still freshmen, so we got three more years watching those guys and keeping track of them. There were a couple big upsets this week, Gabe, in softball and baseball. I mentioned that Buchanan softball beat Clovis North. We've talked a lot about Clovis North, and you know, their number one state ranking, number three in the nation, and you know, with their star pitcher Ryan Maddox, that one surprised me. I know Buchanan actually had a really good record; they're 17-5. But then they lost to Clovis East yesterday, so I'm like, oh, the topsy turvy world of softball. And then the baseball game where Central beat Buchanan. We thought it was going to be a big time pitching matchup between Ryan Spillero, who's going to be on the show at 11 o'clock, but Sam Tocoyan for Buchanan, who's their number one dude. He's a big guy. He throws in the low 90s, headed to Ole Miss. But he had to leave after one batter due to an injury. So we didn't quite have that, you know, 2-0 game that we were looking forward to. But, yeah, a couple big upsets there, isn't it, Gabe?
Yeah, first on softball, Buchanan actually has wins over now Clovis High School and Clovis North High School. So they can say that they beat the top two teams in the section and two top 20 teams in the state, but you mentioned they lost to Clovis East. So, you know, Buchanan's a team that in section playoffs, they might be right in there, and they might have the scary threat to a Clovis or Clovis North to pull off an upset, because they've already beat both of those schools this season. But I do want to mention, you know, Buchanan and Clovis North played already before this game, and Clovis North run-ruled them 10-0, so that just goes to show you anything can happen in softball. You go from run-rolling Buchanan to dropping a heartbreaker, 1-0 yeah, to Buchanan. But I think this win might be what Clovis North needs, just because of the fact it kind of gets the pressure of an undefeated year off their minds. As they racked up the wins, obviously you heard them, the whispers, this might be one of the greatest softball teams ever constructed in the Central Valley, because of just the level of talent in the lineup, the dominance of Ryan Maddox, who's already one of the best pitchers we've ever seen in the Central section. I don't mind saying that, because it's true. What she's doing as a junior is absolutely ridiculous. But with Clovis North softball, this win might galvanize the team, might get them to, you know, focus on the task at hand and maybe make them stop worrying about the pressures of losing, because they've already done it. So they got that out of the way. I'm sure head coach Courtney Dale probably said something similar to them after that loss. As far as baseball, you know, it seems like it's been a week of the Giants falling. You had Clovis start softball lose and then Buchanan baseball loss. Similar type of situation. They got that loss in track play out of the way. There's a reason, Paul, why there hasn't been an undefeated track season yet, and I don't know how long. It always comes up as the team gets 8 in a row, 9 in a row. People always say, is this the year where a team goes 15-0 in the track? The answer is, once again, no. But it was nice to think about it for a second. And what this does set up by this loss for Buchanan, it sets up a massive series next week with Buchanan, who's 8-1 in track, and Clovis West, who's 8-1 in track. 3-game set starting at Buchanan on Tuesday. I'm sure you're going to ask me about that. I just want to say this out front. This is the biggest series in the track this season because I think whoever wins this series is going to win the league.
Yeah, it's going to be a monster series. So Tuesday, 3:30 at Buchanan, talking about Clovis West and Buchanan. On Wednesday, 6:30, looks like at Clovis West. And then Friday is going to be the capper, 6:30 at Buchanan. The pitching matchups, you know, Austin Watson is doing a great job. He came back and shut out Central last night for the Bears. So Austin Watson is another arm that you got to look out for. And Jimenez for Clovis West and Nick Baeza. I mean, you got Caden Munster as well. I know, Gabe, I don't want to steal your thunder here, and I want to ask you the question, man. There's some tasty matchups all over the field. You got Division I players everywhere. If you guys are a fan of high-level high school baseball, that's the place to be.
Yeah, I think there's two teams that match the potency and the depth of Buchanan's lineup, because I think Buchanan does have the best lineup in the Central section. Those two teams that can match up with Buchanan are Stockdale and Clovis West. And so we're going to see that on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week. You just look at the matchups, right? The pitching matchup on Tuesday looks like it'll be Jaden Mandel versus Nate Baeza. Two Fresno State baseball commits. Well, Mandel was formerly a baseball commit. Now he's a football commit. Wednesday, that's the wild card because another Tecoyan might be out for an extended period of time. Who does Buchanan throw in absence of Tecoyan? Looks like it'll be Jimenez going on Wednesday. And then Friday, looks like it'll be Austin Watson against Tyler Patrick. Now, head coach Brad Fonts might move Austin Watson from Friday to Wednesday. Well, that's yet to be seen. But what I can tell you is high-level baseball. I can't wait to see Jaden Mandel throw to Caden Munster. I can't wait to see Austin Watson throw to Caden Munster. I can't wait to see Nate Baeza versus Max Bernal or Drew Smith in the batter's box. That's going to be high-level stuff. I want to go to Clovis and the Clovis East. I want to go to Clovis North and Central. But I also really, really need to be at Buchanan Clovis West because I need to see those guys go at it after each other.
And we also want to mention that Colton O'Toole for Buchanan has come back. He missed the beginning of the year due to some arm injury. He comes into the game, dude's pumping 87 miles an hour. So that's a weapon. I'm sure he's not going to be stretched out too much. At this time of the year, I want to take care of that young guy's arm because he's committed to Long Beach State. I think he's a junior. So, yeah, there's another weapon for Buchanan. So, yeah, in this world of sports, when somebody gets hurt, it's next man up. No excuses, right? And that's definitely, you know, the mentality that Buchanan has. So, yeah, very much looking forward to that. Gabe, I want to go over just really quick. You mentioned that, Clovis West and Buchanan are both 8-1. Clovis High had a good series against Clovis North this week. But there's a little bit of controversy going on over there at Clovis. You talked to Kelly Avance at Clovis Unified. She is, one of the spokespersons over there. So what can you say what's going on over there with head coach Chris Patrick?
Yeah, so I did talk to Kelly Avance yesterday morning just to get a baseline to see if there was a statement out about what happened with Chris Patrick. I did catch wind of it earlier in the week, so on Friday I called Avance, and she said he is on administrative leave, and it is for a personal reason, and when it's typically that kind of situation where a coach leaves for personal reasons, they don't disclose a statement. But that's what she told me, and I think that's what we have to go by. It's reckless to speculate what happened. Most people in the Central Valley have an idea of what happened, but unless you were there and you know exactly what happened, exactly what was said, exactly what was done, I just think it's reckless and immature to speculate on this situation because of how serious it is and because of the people involved.
Yeah, exactly. It's we definitely want to keep things, you know, as real as possible, but yet have, be sensitive to the subject. But we do know that the coach, Chris Patrick, has not been in the dugout this week, and he is on that leave right there. So, but yeah, the Cougars came back though, and you know they had a really good series against Clovis North. And with your rankings, Gabe, and again, I want to say that you guys go to 1430 ESPN website. You could go under high schools and click on Camarillo's Corner. You got a top 20 there that's listed. What I like about that is you break down, you know, some of the games that have happened and you preview things. So you got the Buchanan and Clovis West 1 and 2, Stockdale 3 that you mentioned. Bullard's got a really good team. They got that, you know, next week they got that big series, or actually, sorry, the final week of the year. They got the series against San Joaquin Memorial. Liberty Bakersfield's right there. They're a scary team. San Joaquin Memorial, Rigetti, and then there's Clovis at number 8. But I want to take a couple minutes here, Gabe, and talk about this Kerman team. They're not going to be going up to D1. They're probably going to be the number 1 seed in Division 2. But what a season those guys are having. They're 24-0.
You know how hard that is? You know how hard it is to go 24-0, Paul? Can you win 24 straight games? Even Clovis North couldn't win 24 straight games in softball. And I don't want to hear this baloney that Kerman's playing a soft schedule in baseball. Stop with that. They have the talent to possibly go all the way to the D2 title game. Devin Daniels is a stud. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but 24-0, that deserves recognition. Continue, Paul.
No, you're right. 24-0 is no joke. I got a couple stats, though, here, too, Gabe. Adam Delgado is super soft. Dude's hitting .394, 28 runs, 3 bombs, 25 RBIs. And then St. Mary's commit. Oh my gosh, why am I missing his name? Devin Daniel, there we go. He was on my show, a 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. He's 11-0. Talk about Ryan Maddox and her incredible stats. Well, how about this? This is in baseball, guys. 11-0, like I said, 0.24 ERA. The K to walk ratio is unbelievable. I don't know nationwide where this stands. It's got to be a top 5, but his K to walk ratio is 111-7. 111 strikeouts, 7 walks on the season in 58 innings. I'd like to see somebody better in the nation.
I will listen to people who say that Kerman doesn't belong. I would listen to them, but I've seen this team beat Kingsburg. I've seen Kerman beat good teams, and even the teams that you would think, oh, well, that's their league, they're pummeling them, like 20-0. Like, they beat Chowchilla in 2 games last week by, I don't know what the combined score is, but it was by a lot. And so I would say this. Kerman has played maybe a weaker league than the track schools or any other D1 school, or possibly the D2 schools. Like, you know, Central's going to probably be D2. Clovis North's probably going to be D2 as well as Clovis East. I think Clovis High's on that bubble where it could be easily D2 or they could stay in D1. We'll see. But I think Kerman has taken care of business against the teams in front of them. That's all that you can ask of them. And they've really beaten up on some teams that makes me think, okay, if they were put in a higher level league, they would hold water. And so I think that they deserve to be recognized. And not only that, they deserve to be treated seriously as a contender for the Division II baseball title.
The interesting thing that's going to happen with Division I only having 8 teams in their bracket is some of the teams that are perennial Division I teams. What does that mean? Well, they're going to be dropped to Division II. So there is a chance, even in the quarterfinals, they could play a team like Clovis or Clovis North or Central or Clovis East, who we have right now in Division II as well. So that's a little bit of a scary proposition as well. You know, that's probably time for another debate on that. And, you know, I do like the 16 teams for Division I. I think, you know, those teams that I just mentioned, I think those are Division I teams. They should not be placed in Division II. That's my opinion. But, yeah, it's going to be tough sled, man. Kerman gets that number one. They get the home field advantage. But, yeah, they might be running into one of these bigger schools as well. Okay, Gabe, got a couple minutes here. Anything else going on? I know that, well, we want to talk about some of these spring showcases that we're seeing pop up in football. We'll be talking with Kyle Biggs at 11:30 about this as well. But what do you know about some of these football things that are going on around the Valley?
Yeah, so I talked to Clovis head coach Aaron Wilkins yesterday, and him and Buchanan head coach Ross Wood wanted to do something where they can be able to give Clovis Unified players an opportunity to perform in front of college coaches. And so Aaron Wilkins has a college background. He's thinking like a college coach, and he's thinking these kids want to go and play at the next level. Let's give them the chance to impress coaches at the next level. So on Monday, May 9th at 6 o'clock p.m., they're going to have the inaugural Clovis Unified School District football showcase at La Monica Stadium. But Coach Wilkins wants to specify this isn't a Clovis High run event. It's a Clovis Unified run event. And they're going to have the five Clovis Unified schools there. I've seen a couple of tweets already from some players saying they want to be there, including Clovis High quarterback Jackson Kloster, who recently transferred back to Clovis High School from Clovis North. He's going to be there. You're going to have a couple of players from different schools around the area. I just think it's a great opportunity, and why not have this? You know, these are new coaches coming into the area. I mean, not new for Coach Wood because he was the offensive coordinator last year, but Wilkins is new, and I like how he's bringing this new perspective to things here in the area. He's thinking as a college coach because he was a college coach for so long, came from Liberty University, who just had Malik Willis drafted last night, by the way. I know Coach Wilkins is happy for his quarterback that he helped recruit Malik Willis. But, yeah, I think this is a good opportunity. Check it out on Twitter. I'm sure Wilkins tweeted that. You can check his account for that. But that's what I know. There's going to be individual drills, position-specific drills, and depending on how many people are there, they're going to try and have some live, either 7-on-7 or just something live to show coaches. But Wilkins said that the college coaches, and there's been a couple that have already said they'll be there, the college coaches are looking specifically at those position-only drills.
Good stuff, my guy. Thanks, Gabe Camarillo. Follow Gabe at Gabe Camarillo on Twitter. And I'll probably see you in a couple hours. I'm going to be heading over to that spring preview game, and I'm going to be wearing a Patriot Diamond Club hat. I got one for you here, too. I don't know if you heard that interview with David Jones, but, man, I'm pretty fired up.
That was great. I'm really happy that he's getting something done over there at Hoover High School. Kerry League, this is where I say I actually did play in the Kerry League when I was very, very young, like 6 years old. So I am a Kerry League alum.
All right, I got to see some pictures of young Gabe playing playing Little League.
Go, Kerry League.
You're wearing a little hat, probably covering your ears and all that, right? You're one of those guys choking up on the bat?
I was a Cardinal in the Kerry League. There's a picture of me standing on first base. So I'll send it over to you.
Well, at least you made it to first base. All right, sounds good. All right, thanks, Gabe. As always, appreciate you and see you in a little bit.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Coming up after the break, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, Ryan Spolero from Central Baseball, throwing 93 miles an hour. Get to know Ryan in a little bit. Thanks for listening to the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. You could also follow the 1430 ESPN Twitter account. We've made a real concentrated effort to bring you all the high school sports action, broadcasting games since August. Every Friday night, broadcasted a high school football game. Basketball season comes around, broadcasting basketball games, Valley Championship games, baseball games. We've done a game a week, broadcast a couple softball games as well. So, yeah, 1430 ESPN. We are your high school sports headquarters. Now, talking with Ryan Spolero, Central senior, had that big win that we've talked about on the show a lot, 6-3 over Buchanan. Headed to St. Mary's, topping out at 93. Ryan's right here next to me. Now, he came in and he just starts telling me about his development. And we're going to get into that a little bit because his development story as a pitcher is amazing. But I first want to ask you about, well, you know what? Let me ask you this. What is the weirdest name that somebody, weirdest way that somebody has tried to say your last name?
My last name? I get Spolario a lot, Spolaro. People have fun with it, like Spaccherio. That's my name around school, is like Spaccherio, Spaghettio. You know, you get them all. You get them all with that name.
Let's talk about that Buchanan win. What was when you woke up that morning? Were you just like pumped? Yeah, I'm gonna really show my stuff. You know, we expected that the Tequain was gonna pitch, mm-hmm. and then he left early, unfortunately, yeah. But. Now, what was going through your mind like that morning or before the game or when you first towed the rubber?
For me, I was ready the whole season. Like right when we got that game on the calendar, I circled it. Like I knew I was starting that day because we had talked about it with Mulligan, like what days I was going. So it was like preparing for that day in particular. So waking up that morning, I was ready. Like there was no nervousness, which is weird. Usually I get a little tense before games, but that day I was like ready to go. Like I knew what I was getting myself into, and I just knew I had to go out there and have fun. And it was weird. My first time all year, I had all three pitches, and I was just ready to go. So yeah, everything just kind of went together really well.
When did you know you're going to have a good game? Did you have a really good bullpen before that? What do you throw, 15 pitches maybe in the bullpen before you go out? Maybe
yeah, 20? 20, 25, 30.
Did you feel good then? You're like, hey, I got some stuff working.
Honestly, it was probably the worst bullpen. Like, my pitches were going where they were supposed to, but it was the worst I felt in a bullpen because I had, like, a little cramp in my stomach, like one of those water cramps you
yeah.
get. So I was like, dang, this could be one of those days right now. Like, this is not going to go good. I got out there and I faced Wallace, and I was like, all right, we're good. We're locked in. But yeah, no, before the game, I was telling Dallin, my catcher, I was like, this is either going to go really good right now or this is going to go really bad because we're not feeling hot.
Oh, man, it went really, really well. How many, you know, I didn't write it down. How many strikeouts did you have in those six innings? You had like seven or eight?
I had nine.
You had nine?
Yeah.
Against the number three team in the state. That's pretty good, nine strikeouts. Usually before you go to the mound, though, you mentioned how in the morning, you know, you get a little nervous and stuff, but like, are you an excitable guy? Are you pretty calm on the mound when you get a big strikeout? Do you pump your fist or anything like that? Or you just walk back to the dugout?
It depends on the situation. Like if it's like first, second inning and it's not really like an intense moment, I'll just be like, all right, that was what I was supposed to do. Get back to the dugout. Towards the end of that game, every last strikeout, I was juiced because when you get fired up, your whole team gets fired up. We needed some runs. Like it was 2-1 and I felt comfortable with it, but I knew we needed some more in case my pitch count went up. So just doing that gets everybody going. So early on, calm, just getting through the game, but still aggressive. And towards the end, it's like, all right, it's go time and getting excited.
All right, so I did this last week with Ryan Maddox, Clovis North softball pitcher. I had a softball here again. You know, I know this is radio, but I wanted you, and I'll explain it the best I can. I want you to show the different grips that you use. You say all three of your pitches were working, right? And, you know, we mentioned that you're topped out at 93, but you got a splitter and you got a curveball as well. So I just kind of want you to show it, and then I'll explain what that looks like. Or you can explain, actually.
Yeah, no. So basically, like, four-seam grip, like, super simple with the fastball. I'm just trying to rip this horseshoe down and just create as much spin to the catcher as I can. Curveball, it's like a spike curve. So I'm just pulling on this horseshoe, so the horseshoe.
Yeah.
And I'm just ripping it down towards the catcher in this.
You put your index finger high, right, to
yeah,
get it out of the way?
It's just kind of resting there. Like, it has no importance to it. Like, if I'm struggling with it, it's kind of like a guide point of, like, where to go. So, like, I'll point it at the catcher's head. That's kind of like a mental note for me.
Do you have a 12 to 6 curveball? Is that how you would describe
it? It's more of like a slurve because a lot of people tell me it's a slider. A lot of people tell me it's a curveball. So, like, I just kind of tell it's, like, in the middle. Sometimes it goes side to side. Sometimes it's up and over. It just depends on what, like, how aggressive I'm throwing it, kind of.
Does your arm speed change at all with that, or you throwing the same arm speed?
No, it's the same speed. It's just different situations. You're doing different things. Like, get me over curveball. I'm throwing that, like, 75, 76.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get that over. But if I'm trying to strike someone out, we're going to get that up to, you know, 78, 79. That's probably going to be more of a tighter side-to-side spin.
And if you're trying to get a strike on the curveball, are you focusing on the plate and getting that ball away? And then, obviously, you're get-me-over curveball you're trying to throw it at, you know, around the helmet and have it dropped in, right? Is that your mentality?
Yeah, for me, it's like if I'm getting it over, I'm aiming at the hitter's head. If I'm trying to strike someone out, I'm aiming at my catcher's knees. It depends on, like, if it's a lefty's up, then I'm aiming at the right knee. If it's a righty, I'm aiming at his left. It just depends on the batter, in a sense.
And then
– yeah, the split.
Yeah.
So each ball – on this ball, it's like the diamond logo. And, you know, Wilson's the same way, but I just kind of put my fingers and rest it on the logo on each side. And I just think about ripping that thing down like the fastball. And most of the time it does its little dance when it's going back. But, you know, it just depends on how hard I'm throwing it.
And you don't want to leave that ball up. That's for darn sure.
No. it happened. The hardest ball they hit the other day was Jet Ruby. He had a line drive, and it was off the splitter because it didn't move. And I looked it down, and I said, it didn't move, huh? And he goes, nope.
No.
But, like, when it does move, it's really good, and it's, like, a really effective pitch for me. But, yeah, no, it could get hurt me sometimes.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that one. And, yeah, that pitch at the high school level can be very effective. You throw that down the middle. If that ball dives about 3 or 4 inches, man, you got yourself a wicked pitch right there. And again, You have long fingers, too, and you got pretty big hands, so that's definitely going to help the splitter. Like, I'm just kind of gripping it here. When I tried to throw it in high school, my hands aren't very big, but I gripped it, I don't know what you call that, with the seams, and you like to do it like that, right?
Is
that
where
that
was, across the seams? Right over here on the seams.
Oh, there it is.
So,
right,
like,
there.
Everything kind of works off of it, because if I need to throw a curveball, I'll just move it back in.
Okay.
Move it back out.
Okay. Is there a specific – you mentioned that, you know, Jet Ruby hit your – hit your splitter that you got up and nailed it. Is there a specific pitch that you remember that game where maybe you blew it? You blew it by, just felt good. Maybe was there a called strike three on outside corner? You just humped it right
there. There was a few. Like, I know in the Hunter Jansen at bat, I feel like I threw my — I don't know if I did, but I felt like I threw my hardest pitch that at bat. It was like a third inning or something like that. Just like a fat normal fastball, 0-1. I was like, that felt good. The biggest one was the Drew Smith strikeout. Bases loaded. He was like on top of the plate, and I was like, screw it, we're just gonna go fastball. We're gonna see what he can do here. And he just took it, and that was a big moment. Like, that got everybody going right there. That one felt really good.
Drew Smith's a dude. That guy can hit.
Oh, yeah. Me and him were, well, all of us were kind of talking about it over the summer, because we all knew we were playing each other, and we're all in NorCal.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna get all y'all. Like, I don't care. We're gonna get after it. And he was like, okay.
So you played with the NorCal team last summer?
Mm-hmm.
And who else, who are some other dudes on that team?
Evan Wallace, Hunter Jansen, Jet Ruby, Sam DeCoin, Austin Watson. Who else on that team? I feel like there's a few more. I can't really think about it.
And then is it pretty neat where you got these travel teams to play in the summer? You guys are from different schools. Like, you guys text each other through the year, like, dude, I can't wait to face you. You know, or you see them at different events. You guys obviously are cool with each other. You guys are rooting for each other when you're not playing each other, right? But, yeah, I mean, is that the camaraderie that you have with these guys really cool?
Yeah, no, it's something that people always talk about. It's always a conversation starter. So, like, it's always super fun to be competitive with it, you know. But once we get into the games, we're all super competitive, so we don't really talk. But, you know, after, it's like, hey, good job, like, good luck with the rest of the season, you know, and stuff like that. It's really something cool.
That is really cool. After the game, I got to ask you too. Was it a 3:30 game, right?
It was a 3:30 game. Yeah.
Did you go celebrate somewhere? Did you go eat somewhere? Doghouse Grill or something like that.
Yeah, me and my sister went and got dinner, because she's never in town. She lives in Monterey, so me and her went and got food, and then we just kind of went home and relaxed. But it was more we celebrated a little bit more the next day at school. Like, it was super cool. Like, that was our first win.
Yeah.
Everybody's been letting us have it. So we're like, yeah, we may have won win, but it was against the number three team. So it was pretty cool showing up to school with that.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit. Hopefully we're going to have Coach Mulligan call in. We're going to talk about the season a little bit and talk about you. But, yeah, just kind of an odd year so far. I mean, you guys made it the championship of the Easter Classic against San Joaquin Memorial. I think it was a 4-2 loss.
Yeah, right? It was something like that, 4-2.
4-2, 4-3, yeah. But then league rolls around, and you guys drop three games, and then you got a Clovis. You think you got a win, and then you don't have a win. You find out about a pitch gate. I don't know, some people are calling it.
Yeah.
But then you come out, you know, you guys are what now, 1-8 officially in track. However, you know you can beat anybody, right? You guys are right there with anybody. Mm, right. So are you guys motivated a little bit more? Are you guys playing with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder? You know, what's the mentality like of the team right now?
Right now, it's like probably the most loose we're playing, because we know we have nothing to lose now. Like, at the beginning of the year, we felt like, okay, we have to compete for three. We had a lot of added pressure that we shouldn't have added to ourselves. And now it's like, all right, we know we're looking at D2 playoffs, so might as well just go out there and have fun and enjoy these last two series. And I think that's been the difference, especially this week. We looked a lot better. Like, I know we got blown out twice, but we looked a lot better as far as like competing and having fun. And we didn't have that against Clovis High and Clovis West. We had a lot of pressure. So I think as of right now, like, we're looked at as, like, that best team on paper that's doing really bad. Like, and we understand that, and we know we're going to be a lot better than we've been. So we're not really too worried about what's going on these next 2 weeks. We're just going out there and doing our best, and we know something good's going to come out of it.
I know you guys are a scary team for sure. We have Coach Mulligan on the line right now. So, Coach Mulligan, what's going on?
What's going on, boys? How are we doing?
He's doing great, man. He's got a better radio voice than me. I mean, he could take over my show at any time, man. This guy's a dude right here. So I wanted to talk to you about Ryan and what he means to the Central program. And you know how he's developed, obviously, and we're going to get into this a little bit, how he's a late bloomer. He said he weighed 140 pounds a couple of years ago, and now he's up to 175. But yeah, a guy like this, though, with Ryan, what does he mean to Central's program?
Well, Ryan's kind of the epitome of a guy who just continues to work hard. You know, when he came to Central, he wasn't really a pitcher. He was a heck of a catcher behind the plate. And we kind of saw that being a spot for him, potentially down the road where he could be really special. And then, you know, the whole COVID thing happened and he just continued to work, at DIB with Marcus Walden and Brian Oliver. And then, you know, 4 months, 5 months later, he's hitting 90. And he's become a guy who got on St. Mary's radar and just kind of took off. Last year, I think he was trying to discover really how to pitch. And this year he's really put it together and he's become kind of the complete package on the mound. He's a lot more comfortable with himself, a lot more confident. And, you know, like on Wednesday, when he's getting his curveball and his changeup over with the dynamic fastball, he's a lot of fun to watch and a lot of fun to coach.
And when you have an ace on the mound like Ryan, how does that raise the confidence level of your team?
Well, it's just one of those deals where when we know he's throwing, we expect to win. He gives us that chance every time out. And, you know, it just kind of raises the level and the awareness of our boys to go after it and get a win. And, you know, Wednesday was a lot of fun. The atmosphere was great. The team kind of feeds off of his energy and his emotions. But, you know, we got three really good arms between Spolero and McCurley and Klein. And we can pitch and we can make a run at this thing if, you know, we take care of business and we play good defense and we trust in one another and, you know, we'll go from there.
And you mentioned how he was a late bloomer and, you know, he said he's throwing 80 miles an hour. All of a sudden he's throwing 85 and he's throwing 90 and then he's topped off at 93. But how neat is it to see a young man dedicated so much to his craft and how much he worked on nutrition and working on his body and getting to that next level and then earning that St. Mary's scholarship. How cool is that, right, as a coach, and how inspiring is that to others as well?
Well, you know, it's one of those deals where we couldn't be in contact a lot during, you know, COVID and the pandemic. And he would send me videos and, you know, like rap photos, breaking stuff down. And you could just see the climb. It's like, hey, here's 87, here's 88, here's 89. Here's one at 90, and it's like, oh shoot, you know. And that's like what I told him, and I've told others. It's all about what he's done and what he's put forth, the effort in. You know, there's guys who have dreams and have goals, but in order to achieve those goals and those dreams, you have to put in the effort, and that's just what he did. And you know, he always has long-term goals as well, and I have no doubt that he's going to reach them. But it's, you know, a lot of it, this is just on him. And, you know, I'm just kind of along for the ride. I've enjoyed the journey and being there with him and challenging him. But at the end of the day, he challenges himself more than anybody. And that's kind of, that's the special part about it.
Talking with Central baseball coach Mitch Mulligan about Ryan Spolero, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. I want to talk, like, when some of these colleges started to get on his radar, did you have some colleges just calling you up and asking about him, or what does that look like? Are they noticing himself, or what does that look like?
So St. Mary's was the first one to really jump on. Coach Tuig has been in this area for quite a few years now. And has gotten a lot of local talent. Ryan Wiltsy, one of our former Grizzlies who went to City last year, he's a Gale now. So they do a good job at recruiting the Valley. And really, they were the first ones to jump on him. And Ryan, he liked the visit and liked the vibe. So he said, yeah, I'm going to be in. And, you know, Ryan, once he makes a commitment, he's not going to really, you know, look around elsewhere unless it's, you know, the big leagues calling and the scouts that come out and watch him every day. But, you know, once he kind of made that commitment, he felt comfortable with it and his family felt comfortable with it, and it just kind of freed him up to be himself. But yeah, it's a cool process for them to come out there and call and check on him, weekly and see how he's doing, where he's at, below wise. And it's a cool experience.
Yeah, it is, and I love watching the process, and the following on Twitter and seeing these guys sign their deals is always a cool thing. And I got another question. We talked a lot about Ryan, but you guys are having an interesting season. Let's just put that in quotes. But you guys are right there. You made it the championship of the Easter Classic. With Division One only being 8 teams in baseball. Yeah. And then it looks like Division Two is just going to be loaded as well. Do you got an opinion either way? What are the benefits and drawbacks to having 8 teams in D1 and then 16 teams in the other divisions?
Well, I've talked with a lot of other coaches around there, some of my guys that I trust and respect. And it just makes – I think it makes things difficult. I really felt there should have been 12 teams in Division One. Just kind of it expands and get a few more top-quality teams. Because 8 in Division One and 16 in Division Two, now in Division One you win 2 games in the championship, while every other division you still have to win 3. That's just kind of my feeling. And like I talked to the team this week, we probably are looking at Division Two, which is fine. We'll look to make a run. It's been a very interesting year, to say the least. We've had some peaks and some valleys, and that's just kind of the way. It's kind of panned out. So we're trying to find our consistency to get to that high level where we've shown. And I feel if we get there, we're going to be a dangerous team that people don't want to play.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be very interesting. I'm really looking forward to those brackets coming out and see where everybody ends up. But, I got Coach Kyle Biggs coming up at the bottom of the hour. I want to ask you this.
Thank you. Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Who are you a better – Are you better? Would you be a better football player than Biggs is a baseball player? You know what I mean? Like, you guys flip-flop. Like, who would be the better athlete out there? I'm trying to start something here.
I tell you what, Biggsy could probably be a better baseball player than I'd be a football player. However, I was more of a basketball player, so I could take him out on the court. So that's kind of the touche in my back pocket.
All right, yeah. So you got the basketball skills.
I got the jump shot.
Oh, you got the jump shot. It seems like Coach Biggs, though, like defensively, he'd be one of those guys in pickup games that would just, foul you every time, right? And just like one of those guys you hate to play against in pickup basketball.
He'd be tired. He'd be tired. So he'd be leaning the entire time. So, but no, Biggs is a good dude. He's my guy.
No, Biggs is awesome. I always enjoy conversations with him. So, yeah. I'll he's probably listening, so we'll have to see his comeback for that. He's always good for a comeback.
Perfect.
All right, Coach Mitch, thank you very much. Mitch Mulligan, thanks for coming on, and good luck the rest of the way. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate it. We'll see you.
All right, a couple more things talking with Ryan Spolero. All right, I do want to talk about, because this is great, mention a little bit your transformation from like 140 pounds, COVID hit, took up pitching to now throwing 93, getting a college scholarship. Just kind of take us through that COVID time and how you dedicated yourself to baseball.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like anybody can really do it. Like, I think during that COVID time, a lot of people used it as, like, a time to make excuses and, like, a time to just kind of, like, I know a lot of people didn't have, like, the situation I had of being able to go somewhere. But, like, a lot of people just used it as, like, oh, I could have done this if this didn't happen, Yeah. And I didn't want that to happen with me. Like, I wanted to know, like, I love this game. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get far in this game. And if that means I give all my all and nothing happened, then I have no regrets, So I knew when I started, I just needed to give my all, and it worked out well. But through it all, like, you're going to have those days where it's just like, oh, I got to give up and, go do this. But that's everything in life. You're going to wake up and be like, oh, I don't want to go to school today, or oh, I got to go to work today. Like, you're going to always have that. So just gotta get through it, and when you accept that you have to get through it and you get through it, everything just falls into place the way it's supposed to. And I felt like that's been how it is so far. You're gonna have the bumps in the roads, but it's been real nice.
Amazing. Just the real sense of maturity in your voice right there, and a lot of kids wouldn't even have that mentality. And for you to have that mentality at such a young age, when baseball is over, whenever whatever may come with your career in baseball, I know you're going to go well in life with that type of attitude, man. That is awesome. All right, I want to end with this. Who's your favorite Major League Baseball pitcher to watch? Who's
Jacob DeGrom. Not even close. That dude's unreal. When he's healthy, he's unreal. Like, he can just throw 100 every time. I think Hunter Green's about to surpass that. But
yeah,
when DeGrom's out there, he just makes everybody look so bad. It's, like, really fun to watch.
Yeah, he makes major league hitters look stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Just, yeah, that 101-mile-an-hour fastball there, and then that wipeout slider. God, yeah, those are sick pitches. And yeah, I got to keep that guy healthy, though.
Yeah, no, I wish.
Jeez, yeah.
Maybe in a few years he can go to the Giants and stay healthy over there. That'd be sweet.
So you're a Giants guy?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Who's your favorite Giants pitcher of all time? Lincecum? Obviously, Webb right now is dealing. Rendon.
No, when I was watching, it was like Matt Cain. Bumgarner was like really good then. You know, right now it's probably Logan Webb. Carlos Rodon's been really good.
Yeah.
But no, probably Lincecum or Matt Cain. Lincecum, kind of compared to him a little bit, just like his size and how quick his muscles work. And Matt Cain, just like you grow up and he's the horse. And then, you know, you get Bumgarner right after that. So those three probably tossed up.
All right, those are good calls. Yep, those guys are good pitchers. Lincecum, he's a freak, right?
That's what they call
him, right? He's a freak in nature. All right, Ryan Spolero, this was a great conversation. Really enjoyed talking with you. Thanks to Coach Mulligan for coming on. You know, our 1430 ESPN student athlete of the week, going to St. Mary's, hard worker. You're the type of dude that we love to talk about. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, coming up after the break, talking with Central High football coach Kyle Biggs about what's going on there in the landscape of high school football here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Step inside, walk this way, you and me, babe. Hey, hey!
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Come down here to First String Sports. It's a beautiful day out there, isn't it? Oh, man, sun's shining. I have probably, 76, 77 today. Come down here, First String, get your Letterman's jacket taken care of. One of the cool things that I do for the show is that there are these chairs that have Clovis East or Kerman or Madera, Central, Buchanan, whatever. Whatever guest is on, I like to make it look good, man. So I've had the Central chair out all day because we just talked to Ryan Spolero. And we got head football coach Kyle Biggs. So you were here earlier, Kyle, and you heard Coach Mulligan, who you're friends with, right?
Yes.
Are you friends after what he said?
Definitely.
Coach Mulligan saying, so I asked, like, all right, would Coach Kyle Biggs be a better baseball player than you are a football player? But then he threw out basketball for some reason. That was like the X factor. So you got to come back for that. Like, what, in your opinion, would you be a better baseball player and Coach Mulligan would be a football player? What's going on?
You know, I'd be a better fielder. I couldn't hit the curveball. So, and that high inside fastball that I could never hit, I swung at every time. So, I mean, I could catch. I couldn't field a ball or catch a fly ball. So they just put some gear on me. I can throw runners out. I think Molly would be a good little slot receiver. He's got a little athleticism in him. But basketball, I mean, he better be on fire because I'm going to take that little guy in the post and I'm just going to post him up all day.
That's what I thought, too. I think you'd be like an enforcer on defense. But, yeah, I mean, posting up, I think you'd go beast mode on that.
Yeah, I'll let him shoot. He's not going to make all of them.
Good-natured fun, and I know, I mean, you know, a big campus like Central, and, you know, you talk about the main three sports, you know, football, basketball, and baseball. You guys have to have a sense of camaraderie. You're sharing athletes at times, but you're also supporting each other too, aren't you?
Definitely. We're cheering for each other. We're always doing anything we can to help each other, working together on the off-season calendar and even in-season. You know, earlier this year when we started our OTAs, you know, I asked Molly if I can steal Tafoya on Mondays for an hour so we can get some football work. And he's like, yeah, no problem. You know, and then Tafoya was struggling a little bit at the plate. And he's like, Coach, I need to get back to baseball. And I was like, all right, we're good. Go. And, you know, no problem.
And Dayton Tafoya is obviously a starting quarterback for the last two seasons, going to be a senior next year. But, yeah, he decided to play baseball and doing really well. I think he got a home run this year, that guy.
He is. He's he started a little slow because you can tell he took a couple years off, but now he's in his groove and he's hitting the ball hard, man. And he's getting base hits and he's an athletic kid out in the field. He's making plays and he's got a good arm and he's a good base runner and he's having fun.
And he's a gamer too.
Yes, he is.
he plays the game hard. One of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you is, you know, I think it'd be interesting for people to know what's going on right now as far as football goes and then what the summer's going to look like. Because we're seeing things on Twitter and social media about practices and 7-on-7 type stuff that's coming up and showcases. And college coaches coming in and watching their kids. So, you know, what can high school football teams do now, and what are you guys doing?
Well, you know, if you go by CF rules, you're allowed 8 hours a week. If you're a club team, then it's unlimited, right? So it just depends. You know, every school has their own cup of tea and what they do and what works for them. And, you know, this is our first year since COVID of having a new schedule. You know, we used to be on a block schedule where we had an even odd schedule. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday could be even 1 week, could be odd the next week. So there were days where our football PE class was first period. So on even days, we didn't have lifting. So we'd have to get that lift in after school. So on days we lifted, we'd do speed training or OTAs, individual work, football work. And then on even days, we'd be lifting after school. Well, now we're to a period where every period, every day. So now every day after school, we were doing speed training, give them a few days off in February, you know, only go Tuesday, Thursdays. Let them be kids, give them a chance to get in the classroom, get their homework, and get caught up on classes and making sure their grades are right. And then once we get rolling into, you know, March, we start to go 4 days a week, 2 days of football stuff, 2 days of speed training. And then since spring break, we're doing 4 days of OTAs. So we just do about 45 minutes of offense, 45 minutes of defense. We have a ton of guys who are at track, our quarterback's at baseball. So it's a chance for us to get these young guys reps and teach them some fundamentals and techniques that, you know, they haven't been taught yet. And just starting at the basics and giving them a foundation. So when we go to spring ball, you know, they can compete and they have a chance to get after it because they've learned the fundamentals and the techniques that we've been teaching since day one. That, you know, most of the guys at track are returner guys, so they already know this stuff. So, you know, once we get those guys, we get our full team back, which is what we're missing right now.
Is it? And it's program wide, right? So you got freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and right? You got all those guys.
Yeah, we have them all with us right now. So even the young freshmen who are, you know, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, that, you know, they're with varsity guys. And, you know, we're hard on them. Hustle, sprint, get to your spots, do what you're supposed to do. Do it wrong, do it full speed, you know. And you're not allowed to have a head spin. And, you know, like, let's go. We got expectations here.
Yeah, how important is that for the young guys? Well, let me ask you this, though, too. Are you guys planning on having a freshman JV and varsity team?
With our numbers, I don't think it will allow us to have a freshman team. So the last 2 years, we've had a JV frost-soft team, combined them. And it's been okay. You know, most teams are now in Fresno Unified, Clovis Unified. There's not very many freshman teams. Yeah. So it's just kind of the way it's going now. And then, you know, with Garza being built, this is our first time, you know, dealing with it. And so we have more than one school in the district, and, you know, we have to get adapt.
Is it? How has these types of spring practices, off-season practices, how have they evolved over the years? You think about your time when you played at Clovis High as well, right? Yeah, and no, it seemed like back then you just kind of go sport to sport, and if you're not playing sport, maybe you're lifting weights and doing some stuff. But how has these types of practices evolved over the years?
Well, you know, when I was in high school, they were player-led. So there was, you know, a group of 10 or 15 of us who weren't playing baseball or doing track, and we were lifting and throwing the ball, you know, had a few receivers. I had linemen playing linebackers and 7-on-7. And, you know, we did what we had to do to get some work in. And now it's more organized, and it's just something that, you know, kind of, if you're not doing it, you're going to be behind. And sometimes some schools, you know, they might be doing 2-3 hours worth, and you might overwork kids. You know, it's just, there's a fine line that you got to realize. That's why we stick to the offseason. We stick to 90 minutes. We want them in and out. We want them to have the time to go home and eat dinner, do homework, study, read book, whatever they got to do. It's important for our kids because we work them hard during the season that they get time to be a kid and be a teenager.
Yeah, and that's a question that pops in my mind is the burnout, right? Yeah. Like, how much is too much? Are we – I mean, that is awesome that you guys are working together as Central High coaches and, you know, you're – lending players, and you're like, yeah, this guy, come over here. Yeah, he needs to get better here. That's fine. Yeah, take him, no problem. But the question of burnout is a big one, and you definitely want multi-sport guys as well, too. That's very, very important. But where is that line being drawn? Like, where do you, as a coaching staff, you just like, hey, guys, let's pull back a little bit. Hey, let's push this group a little bit more. As a coaching staff, when do you guys realize that?
Yeah, it's a part of the group you have, and it's a foundation of knowing your team and knowing what they can do. And some kids, it's individual. You know, some kids don't need a break. Some kids, you know, they start looking worn and tired. And it's like, hey, man, let's sit this one out. Let's take a day off to rest your body. It's okay to rest your body. Like, that's not punishment. Your body needs rest. And sometimes these kids just overwork themselves.
do you think we've come to a point? You mentioned a phrase that I have here in my notes, that, you know, if you're not doing it, you know, there might be somebody else that might be working a little bit harder, that kind of thing, right? Do you think some schools are overdoing it? Do you think that we've, you know, come to this point in sports where if you're not working harder, somebody else is working harder, they're going to beat you? You think it's come to that point? Is it a little bit too much? Do you even like that aspect?
You know, we try to focus on us, and we try not to focus on what other people are doing. We have a plan. We've shown to be successful with our plan, and then it's worked. And it works for our kids, and it works for our community, and we stick to our plan. Other schools, you know, I can't really speak for them because they know their players better than I do. So,
yeah.
And I know people, they want to push the envelope. They want to get the most out of their kids, and it's a fine line.
Yeah.
And it's either you're going to do it and you're going to love it, or by the time you get to August, your kids are going to be burnt out and my kids are going to be excited. And we're ready to rock and roll in August when it counts.
Yeah, in August. It's going to be here before we know it too. And obviously it's worked for you guys. You got the back-to-back-to-back Valley Championship, Central Section Championship, 17, 18, and 19. That state championship was awesome. That's something that, you know, is going to go down in section history as one of the greatest teams of all time. But I want to ask you too, Kyle, talking with Kyle Biggs, Central High football coach, about these college coaches that I hear are coming on campus and watching kids. Just kind of explain to our listeners what does that look like? Are they contacting you? Are you contacting them to come watch? Are they just asking about players? What does that look like?
So in January, February, whenever the first period opens up for them to get out, most of them are at new schools, or most of them are in a new recruiting area. So what they want to do is they want to introduce themselves to the coach. Most of the time we have a prospect list for them, and we say, here are our prospects, and they take a look at them and see who works for them and who they like. And most of the time the people coming to our area are recruiting this area. So it could be the running back coach from Colorado State was here. Okay. So this is his area. The O-line coach from Nevada, it's his area. The special teams coordinator from Stanford, this is his area, Lynn. And he was at Fresno State at one point. So it's sometimes they have ties, sometimes they don't. But most of the time I'll get a text or an email saying, hey, I want to come by. And I tell them the same thing. We got football PE 7:25 and we got practice at 3. So if you want to see the kids, come on by. If they can't make it at that time, because obviously there's no rhyme or reason, man. Sometimes they hit me up the day before, a week before, the day of, you know, hey, I'm in town, can I come by? And Coach Alomar was here on Friday, and he knows, hey, I'll be there before 2:30 because I know on Fridays you go to get your kids. And, you know, because we've been doing this for 6 years with Coach. So he knows. Some of them, you know, who've been around for a long time, and then some guys are new, and they don't know the coaches. They don't know the players. They don't have contacts. They're asking you for coaches' contacts. And they ask you who else, what other school should I be going to, where are the guys at? And, you know, you just give them all the info you have on the players and give them the information for the coaches so they can contact those coaches and go to those other campuses and see those other kids. And then the further along you get into it, so like now the spring evaluation period, if this was previous years where we have Xavier Worthy, Jeremiah Hunters, Kendall Milton, Jalen Croppers, you have those five-star, you know, power five guys, then the position coaches start coming because they want to specifically see those guys. And so when you get the position coaches coming, then you know that they're about to offer. Now, with quarterbacks, it's a finicky deal, man, because the quarterback coach has to like them, the OC's got to like them, and the head coach has to like them, and they can't just, you know, see him. They got to see him throw. So a lot of the times we're like, yeah, we like this kid, but we got to see him at camp. Or, you know, hey, the receiver coach is going to be at the Sac State camp on June 15th. Is your kid going? And so we try to promote that and get our kids on those camps and get them there. And so they can get seen. And I mean, there's a million kids at those camps. So they get like 3 or 4 reps. But really, those coaches just want to see hip turn. They just want to see knee bend. They just want to see certain things. That's all they're looking for, how long their arms are. You know, just little things that they want to see. You know, sometimes they come and they take a picture of the kid and stand in the doorway because all doors are the same size. So they can measure kids, you know, how tall they are and how wide they are by that.
That's fascinating stuff. So what I'm hearing is, so college coaches will come on, and then if it's a high position player, you know, like your quarterback or maybe even running back, who basically is like the face of that college team, right? Obviously with the quarterback, that's your dude. You could, you can get a contract extension with your guy, or you can lose your job because of a quarterback.
Yes.
Right? So it's got to go through a certain chain of events to get that college scholarship offer, right?
Very much so. Like when Trent was getting recruited, the special teams coordinator had the area, and then the quarterback coach came, then the OC came, and then Coach Hawkins, the head coach, came. So it's just a, you know, they want to see their guys. They want to see them up close and in person. They want to know who they're offering, and they want to know everything about them. You know, the first question they ask is, do they love football? Are they a good student? And how's their home life? Those are the first three questions they ask.
And then you had a couple of high-level recruits. You mentioned Xavier Worthy, you know, obviously Jalen Johnson we're going to talk about in a little bit right here. But, I mean, you had college – you had the big-time dudes calling you. You had the big Stoops. And who are some of the guys that were calling you, asking about these guys?
You know, unfortunately, when COVID hit, you know, that's when Xavier got hot. So Coach Sarkisian was calling. He was at Alabama. Coach Harbaugh was calling when he was at Michigan, obviously. Coach Gladys at Michigan. Coach Cristobal when he was at Oregon. And you just get, you know, when Jalen was getting recruited, it was everybody. You know, Saban, Georgia, LSU. I mean, they were sending everybody out here. And then even when all those guys were going after Kendall Milton, you know, those coaches made stops at Central because they know. And other coaches tell them, hey, Central's got guys, Edison has guys, Washington. Like, the other coaches speak, and they find out, and they're trying to find if there's a needle in the haystack kind of guy they can get that nobody knows about. And they're out there, so they might as well recruit, because it's not normal for, you know, LSU and Georgia to come all the way out to Fresno, California, and recruit a kid.
Well, I think with Caleb Kelly at Clovis West and then Adrian Martinez at Clovis West too, I mean, we had – That was a fun time, man, when those guys were calling.
We had a run. You know, there was about 6-7 years there where we were sending a guy in the Valley to a Power 5 guy. You know, Memorial sent a couple guys. Yeah. You know, there was some high-caliber football players, you know, and there still is. What the problem with college coaches is it's all about measurables. Mm. You know, and you're watching the NFL draft right now, and, you know, you see a guy who's 5'9", who some college coach wouldn't take because he's 5'9", and that, you know, the NFL takes him.
Yeah.
So it's just it's real. It's you got to find a coach that likes a player, and that coach falls in love with that player, and you know he wants that player.
Well, I think of like Cooper Kupp, right? You know, somebody like that that probably didn't have a lot of measurables, but the guy could definitely run a route, could catch a ball, and you know, one of the greatest seasons of all time in the NFL. I want to ask a little bit more about Jalen Johnson. Like, did you coaching him? Like, did you know that he was going to be an NFL guy? Was there a certain play or a certain part of his mannerisms or anything where you're like, yeah, he's going to be a guy?
You just knew right away, just the way he carried himself, how important school was, how good he was in the classroom, how he took care of his body. You know, he was always stretching. He had his roller in his backpack so he could roll out in class. But there was a situation when I got there. There was a Valley Championship basketball game, and there was a big 7-on-7 game in Las Vegas, a tournament, and he told basketball, like, I'm football comes first, so I won't, like, these are the days I'm not going to be there. And the Valley Championship happened to be on a Saturday when he couldn't be there, and the coach, like, they were begging him. And Jalen is when he makes his mind up, like, he's going to stick to whatever he made his mind up to do. And you know, they begged him and begged him and begged him, and finally he's like, all right, you know what, it's the right thing to do to play with my teammates to earn Central's first Valley Championship. I think he had 13 points, had like 5 steals, just dominated the game. And then while they go celebrate, he jumped in a car, drives to Vegas, gets no sleep, sleeps in the car, turns around the next morning, shuts down every receiver he sees. From that moment on, I was like, this kid's going to do whatever he sets his mind to do. And he did. He said, he told us because he hurt his shoulder in the offseason, he was going to play 5 games, and then he was going to get surgery, and then he was going to go to school, he was going to start, and then his third year, he was going to leave, he was going to graduate, and he was going to leave. And he gave us 9 games.
Yeah.
And then he hurt his shoulder trying to make a tackle and said, Coach, I can't do it anymore. And I said, hey, you gave us 9. You said 5. You tried. Like, I respect everything. You've held your end of the bargain. Had his surgery, goes and starts, all conference, graduates on time or graduates early, and then gets drafted in the second round.
And had a really good year this last year for Chicago.
You know, it's scary to see how good he is. It's just he's such a talented young man. It's just such – I mean, he's the hardest worker. He's the smartest IQ football kid I've ever been around. And, I mean, there were plays when we were playing Clovis West one time. He's like, Coach, they can't – like they're not covering the middle of the field. And I'm like, all right, so you want to run cowboy? And he goes, yeah, let's just go empty cowboy. I was like, all right, cool. And he catches a touchdown wide open. And I was like, oh man. He's like, yeah, coach, just they got there was one of the twin linebackers had to cover a man for man. He had a cast on his hand.
Shram.
So every third down we went to that, and by the third time we ran it, Shram's tackling Jalen before the play even gets going. And it's just like, all right, Jalen, good call, bud.
The guys that are pros, you talk about like Jalen Green and, you know, Jalen Johnson. You hear this phrase a lot, and you just hear built different. Yeah, right? Guys are just built different.
And I want to get one thing straight. It did not matter. You know, I like to think I had some type of impact just helping him, you know, more with, you know, the mental part of the game. It didn't matter who his coach was. That young man was going to Utah. I mean, I tell people all the time, my sister could have been his head coach, and he's still going to Utah. He's still going to the NFL. That kid was built different, and it was in a completely different mindset than anybody else. And it didn't matter who, you know, all you try to do is not mess him up and let him go be Jalen Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to have a long career as well. Kyle, we got about another minute here before. And again, thanks for coming in. I've had you on the show before, but it's always been the call-in. I get to see you face-to-face.
Yeah, you know, you always do a Saturday on after a game, and we got to flush the kids and lift them and watch some film, and, you know. And Saturdays are tough, man.
I know.
We usually, in college football, I'm a huge college football fan, so I try to watch as much of that during the day as I can before I start breaking down film and getting to work at night. And, yeah, Saturdays are tough.
I got you in the quote-unquote off-season. All right, really quick. You still digging the eight teams, or maybe you have it. Yeah, eight teams in Division One. What do you know about playoffs for next year and some of the changes?
No, eight teams is not. It's not. It doesn't do any justice to the whole section. You know, Bakersfield, Bullard, Clovis, what those guys had no business being in D2 last year. I mean, I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Hanford had no business being in D1. They could have been Division II champions last year. I was a very good football team, and they just get thrown in D1 because of a computer ranking. You know, if anything, they should have been given the option, you know, if they want to be in it or not. But as far as D1, eight teams, it's just not enough. It dilutes the Division II pool. And then from there, the Division II pool dilutes the Division III pool. And it just, you know, your teams that are worthy in the Division III and the Division IVs are being pushed either further down. Or they're not given. They're having to compete with, you know, a team five times its enrollment, or, you know, whatever, and it's just, it's not fair. So we're all D1 teams. Like they got D1 coaches, you know, they're D1 football teams, and it was just, I mean, it's not, you know, Boyd didn't have a choice. It wasn't like they were choosing to go D2. They wanted to go D1.
Yeah.
You know, they were a byproduct of the system, and they did what they had to do. You know, I'm not trying to say anything negative about that. They were just doing what they were told to do, and they did. You know, and they won a Division II championship. But they should have been in D1. There should have been 12 teams in D1. In a perfect world, we'd have 16. You know, it's not really fair to have first-round buys in football. You never really had that before. So in a perfect world, it'd be 16. But it's got to be at least 12.
Good stuff. And, again, it's never too early to talk about football. Thanks for coming in, Coach Kyle Biggs, talking about what your program's doing right now. This is very fascinating about college and recruiting and all that, how that works. And, yeah, if I don't see you, man, have a good summer.
Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
And maybe one of these times we'll find ourselves on the basketball court, and we'll see if I could get some jump shots.
You'll definitely get some jump shots.
But I'm not getting anything underneath them.
No, you're not coming inside.
All right, wrapping everything up here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
And that's a wrap on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. 2 hours of high school content. Oh, this is so much fun. Time always flies by. I went overboard today. But, yeah, this is just so much fun talking about high school sports and bringing to light these kids and getting to know programs and how things function. It's a lot of fun. If you guys can go back to the 1430 ESPN website and download previous shows, just go under podcast, listen Off the Bench and the Jose Gonzalez Show as well. Thank you to First String Sports. Thank you to David Jones, Hoover Baseball. May 14th, bring some extra baseball equipment over to the high school in the morning. They'll take care of it and get their program going. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo. Thanks to Ryan Spilero, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Thanks to Central High football coach Kyle Biggs. And in closing, be kind, be generous, and in everything that you do, be passionate and leave it all on the field. Talk to you soon.